I'm always fascinated when people tell the stories of their, tell their life stories and account for their success.
Yeah.
And so many of them, when they accounted for their success, dwelt on the things, the obstacles, not the easy parts. I just thought that was interesting. You know, that why is it when it was clear that they had learned more and value, and in retrospect, placed far more value on the things that didn't go right or didn't go perfectly or that were sort of less than ideal.
Which is interesting because it completely goes against what seems to be the contemporary grain, where we try and inure ourselves from all forms of things going wrong. And everything that goes wrong is seen as a terrible, terrible thing that's happened to you. We've forgotten that Nietzschean idea of that which does not kill me makes me stronger, it seems.
This is, in fact, the in another context, I might have made that quote from Nietzsche the subtitle of the book. I was actually... I always wanted to put out get well cards, Nietzschean get well cards. It just said anything that does not kill you makes you stronger. But
it seems in America in particular, but not just in America, although you know many things start there and for all sorts of reasons, that we seem now to have not just a risk averse society, but a kind of a negativity averse society, if you like. Yeah.
So for example, I have a whole chapter in my book talking about class size. What is the right size for a classroom for the best educational outcome for your child? And our operating principle has always been for the last...
Small is better.
Small is always better. And my point is actually there is a point where classes can be too small. Mm. In other words, where what you don't want is maximum attention from the teacher for your child. What you want is a diverse experience with other children. And by the way, sometimes... being forced to work something out by yourself without the teacher standing over your shoulder helping you might not be a bad idea. So it's that... You know,
is there also not another element of there that class, if you're saying small is always better in class sizes, you're negating the input of other students. Yeah, and then for the more students you have around you, the more variety of inputs you have.
Yeah, now that was a big... I asked, it's a really fun part of the book. I went, because there's very little research on the question of whether a class can be too small, I went and I asked hundreds of teachers that question, what's the optimal class size? And I was stunned to find how many teachers said there's absolutely a case, a point at which I dearly wish I had more students in my class, that you can't get discussion going when there's too few students. Paradoxically, it can be hard to control classes with too few students because two students who hate each other can dominate the class. And most importantly, students who are struggling need a true peer. They need someone else who's asking the same questions and having the same problems. And when a class is too small, the students who are struggling very often they're all by themselves. They have no one working at their level.
Is there also a lesson about having things too easy, if you like? I mean, is affluence and success and opulence and all of those kind of things, is that a negative, therefore?
Past a certain point. So, yeah, there's a... I had this fascinating discussion when I was doing the book, and it's a part of a chapter of the book with a very, very wealthy man in Hollywood, famous Hollywood producer. And he was someone who grew up in quite modest circumstances. And clearly, as he described his life story, all the things that allowed him to be such a success in Hollywood, he learned as a result of the modesty of his upbringing. He learned the value of work. He learned how fulfilling it could be to do things to be self-reliant. And here he was in this man's house, which was his garage was the size of a mansion. I mean, we were in the third of his offices, which was the size of a football pitch. I mean, it was preposterous. He had Ferraris and everything you would imagine. And he was saying, you know, his children... he was talking about his children, and he was saying that he had destroyed, by virtue of his own wealth, destroyed his children's attempts to do something meaningful in their life. It was very clear to him they would never do what he had done, which was make something of themselves in the world. They had no idea what the meaning of work was.